With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Disassembling the lies and reassembling the truth. This is the Jason Verma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
Big tech equals big lies, in my opinion, folks. And I was really thrilled to talk to Amy Peacock, but I want to go further down the rabbit hole of this technopoly idea and why I think it's so dangerous. Because Google, at the end of the day, is projecting a reality on many fronts to the vast majority of us, whether we like it or not, whether it's through the curation of content that you see on YouTube or the apps that you're allowed to have on your phone. But Jason, I have an Apple device. Guess what? They were hand in hand when it came to censoring people like Alex Jones. Oh, you're not going to be on Apple Podcasts. You're not going to be on Google Play Store. Tell me a big decision, politically, socially, or culturally, that they haven't been lockstep together with. So let's start there. But Google in particular was funded by the Central Intelligence Agency itself. Oh, isn't that something? You see, at some point in time, we decided in this country it would be a good idea to let the Central Intelligence Agency have an investment firm called InQtel. And that way they could look at emerging technologies that might be beyond or parallel to some of the stuff we had in our black projects. And listen, innovation is out there. People are going to do different things. So what do? They go in and they seed fund it. Essentially, in a lot of cases, they end up picking winners and losers. And Google was very, very much a part of that process. And that's far from the only one. You can look at a lot of social media companies and you get very, very influential individuals into them. You want to talk about the Central Intelligence Agency? Let's talk about a guy named Sean Parker. Now, guys with grays in their beard like me, they're going to remember the Free Music Revolution app, Napster. Now, Napster was a huge deal. Everybody thought, hey, the industry is going to go away. We can't allow downloadable music. Now, again, you're making your money off either streaming on Spotify or downloading via iTunes, etc. But back then, it was a big taboo. But it was such a cultural phenomenon that this individual was somewhat embraced and eventually got into the business model of Facebook early on. If you watched the Social Network film, he is the Justin Timberlake character. Here's what they didn't put in that film. When he was 16 years old, he was actually recruited by the Central Intelligence Agency. Now, it said that he didn't take the gig, but they kept a quick eye on him, and he was very much involved in programming. Another thing you should know about Sean Parker is he was also a Bilderberg attendee at one point, just around the time that Peter Thiel, who also got involved in what Facebook rather heavily, was a steering member and continues to be a steering member of. So you have spook fingerprints all over these big tech companies. Now, let's just say this. Let's give Sean Parker the benefit of the doubt, and let's say that he did not directly work with any Central Intelligence Agency or three-letter agency. Do you think that those agencies stop surveilling or watching or attending to, maybe even influencing those that they think are very smart, powerful individuals? I would contest that's imagination land. So winners and losers have already been picked. You look at something like Facebook, it buys up Instagram. You look at something like Google, it buys up YouTube. So when they don't have their fingerprints in it at all, they're the big tech conglomerates that can buy them up. That's the reality we face. That's in our face. But again, we're not acknowledging that. We're not acknowledging that this has massive national security implications, really, for we the people, and is inherently against our right to privacy, our Fourth Amendment, to be secure in our persons and properties. But I would say this, You're going to be securing your persons and properties at Standing in the Light UK. How do you fancy a bank holiday weekend at a music festival for truth and with a tribe of freedom? I like that, the Freedom Tribe. With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles, and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth of the world. A Stand in the Park and the Light Paper present Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on the 24th to the 27th. Four fun days of camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus booking fee. Children under 5 are free. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website and make sure that you don't miss out and get yourself a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom Family Love and Fun. Standing in the light.uk. See you there, and we'll see you on the flip side of this break with Adam Clark bringing the ruckus.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh boy, here we go. On Wednesday, a gathering of middle school students in Utah staged a walkout protest, reportedly upset that the complaints about being harassed by fellow students who identify as furries are falling on deaf ears. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus.
Thanks, Jason. I must say this is probably a historic moment for myself. I believe I have never, ever until now technically reported about furries on TNT. And if I've ever talked about them, I certainly have not talked about them being inside of middle schools, scratching and biting fellow students. Here's how it started. According to WebMD, quoting here, furry community began to emerge in the 1970s alongside growing interest in science fiction, anime, and role-playing, ending quote. Some adults embrace this. They even hold conventions, one of which had to actually ban the presence of minors, prevent them from attending, after Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed legislation designed to protect children. That's right. Furries are individuals who identify with anthropomorphic animals and enjoy dressing up as them, usually oftentimes cats or dogs. Again, WebMD says, quote, furries are people who have an interest in anthropomorphic animals or animals with human qualities, end quote. That's how it started. Here's how it's going. If you use X or Twitter, you may have run into Libs of TikTok, who retweeted this courtesy of somebody by the name of Adam Bartholomew. But here's what Libs of TikTok posted on X with the video accompanying it. Quote, students walked out. These are middle school students, by the way. Quote, students walked out of Nebo School District in Utah to protest the school for allowing furries to terrorize other students. Students claim that the furries bite them, bark at them, and pounce on them without repercussion. However, if they defend themselves in any way, they get in trouble, end quote. Well, dozens, approximately, it looks like at last count, 75 students and parents protested with signs outside accusing school officials of ignoring complaints that have been made about students wearing furry costumes. Going to quote a bit from Blaze Media's report. A live streamer named Adam Bartholomew interviewed the students outside Mount Nebo Middle School in Payson and posted their accusations on social media. His main video on YouTube runs for an hour and 12 minutes, end quote. I'm pretty sure it's still up there. Furthermore, they reported, quoting here, these kids are mentally ill, and they're trying to force their illness upon us. That's what one girl stated, noting that the kids who dressed up as furries range from the ages of 10 to 13 years old. Other children claimed that the quote-unquote furries sprayed Febreze on them and sometimes sprayed it in their eyes. And here we go. Some even reported that there are litter boxes in the bathrooms. One student asserted on camera, quote, they bite us, they scratch us, they bark at us, end quote. Students contend that the furries get a pass if they attack other children, but if they complain to school authorities about them, they are punished for it. The principal reportedly told them to be kind and nice to the furries. Students and parents brandished signs outside the protest that read, "Don't brainwash us," and "Compelled speech is not free speech." The children said their parents knew they were at the protest, and the principal was notified the night before that it would take place. Blaze Media noted that one parent at the protest said that their child had recorded video of the furries interrupting school, but they were allegedly reprimanded by school officials. A petition on change.org demanded that school officials apply their rules to all students, including the furries, and was signed by 629 people, according to Blaze Media. Students at the protest called for furries to be banned from school, and others wanted them to be expelled, end quote. I'm pretty sure, as you can well imagine, Jason, there are tons of conservatives making their comments about this, and pretty much zero coverage of this from any sort of media that might have a leaning towards the left. But what say you about this?
Well, you remember when CPS, which essentially I'm not a huge fan of child protective services all the time, but like if you were a crackhead parent, they'd probably take your kid away. All right. So now, like, I see these parents that would allow their children to dress up, not on Halloween or some specific day, as a character. All right. And not just like, you know, the character they want to be in high school. We've all seen the goth look or the jock look or the attempted cool guy in the That's not what we're talking about. No, you're going to go full on. You're not only dressing like the animal, but you want to be treated like the animal. I would assume the vast majority of these parents are on serotonin reuptake inhibitors, probably a multitude of such. And if we are going to have an honest child protective services type agency, they now have to take those children away. But we don't. And this behavior is being encouraged. In fact, if we don't have free and fair elections in this country, if you think the admiral as your health and human services provider, you know, the man that believes is a woman, we will have a furry, trans, non-binary Secretary of Defense. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah, this is pretty wild. But what's interesting to me is I remember for at least a few years now, there have been these rumblings, these rumors in the dark corners of the interwebs that there are schools in America with litter boxes in the bathroom, and that immediately gets shut down and fact checked and used to smear people as being crazy conspiracy theorists or MAGA hat wearing Trump supporters or flat earth believers, whatever they want to, you know, say about you. So here it would appear that this is literally actually really taking place and this is real news. I'm just curious about what's going to happen here. And the thing is that these students are not, they don't take issue with the other students identifying as animals. They're totally cool with that. I mean, because kids are kids. They're cool with other kids. They just are upset that they're being distracted in school. I mean, could you imagine what it was like trying to learn in school and you got like some dude who thinks he's a cat like growling and hissing at you? I mean, oh my God, dude, this is crazy.
It's absolutely insane. And look, I'm not even going to give the kids the benefit of the doubt. Kids are cruel. You better toughen up. I know they've softened up, but they will look to the littlest thing, even your friend group, to see if they can knock at you. I don't know why you would want to do this unless, of course, going back to my very first segment when we were talking about non-binary and trans kids in Hollyweird, there's something going on at home. There's some kind of weird thing where they need attention, or they are, you know, so awkward in a social situation, and maybe they're drugged up themselves. Let's be honest about that. That's the problem. We have a society that encourages kids and adults to be on psychotropic drugs that obviously change your brain chemistry. And instead of addressing reality and the utter absurdity, we now just have to accept it as a part of our life. And I think, again, you know, we talked about transhumanism. This is a road to that. That's why it's also being encouraged. Because if you can identify as a girl when you're a boy or vice versa, or that you're fluid, or that you're a zero or a one or an animal. It's going to be everything. And the more and more that we get submerged into this virtual metaverse that's being pushed by the World Economic Forum, the United Nations, the more and more they want you to accept not is what is real, but what can be virtually real. So then essentially it is real. It's the Kurzweilian argument right now, right? Does it even matter if you can upload your consciousness? It's almost the same thing. Give in. Don't be a carbon-based life form, Dave. Listen, Adam, it is a pleasure as always. We will catch you tomorrow night. We got to take a break here. It is TNT Radio Live. We've got the ever fun and very vibrant Mike Netter on next. We're going to be talking California, the water, and them giving them the big squeeze. More TNT Radio after this.
TNT's Patrick Henningsen.
All the focus of the West, of Washington and its allies, are all focused on Israel right now, to support and help Israel and to somehow contain and deter Iran. Okay. So that means that Russia kind of has an open field with regards to what it wants to do. So think about that for a moment. Could we have a situation in this new world, this multipolar world, where the Iranians and the Russians, their allies, and certainly Russia's not going to slap Iran on the wrist for this latest salvo against Israel. Why? Because it absolutely ties up the United States and its allies right now in the Middle East.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTradio.live.
And we are back. I promised you a very fun show while talking about terrible things today, and we couldn't do it with without Mike Netter. Mike Netter is one of the more fun guests that we have on here while talking about terrible things. He's out in California where they're trying to give him the big squeeze on the water supply. Let's talk about it, Mike.
Jason, it's great to be here today. And for those of you watching live, I'm going to show you something very valuable. Yes, indeed, a bottle of water. Because California, and first off, we have so many problems in California, it's hard to get your arms around. But let's just start with the part, Jason, that we don't manage water well, okay? And I want to start off with water by talking a little bit about gasoline to educate your audience. Is that okay? I realize they don't mix, but it's probably a good way to get started. The reason I do that is people are familiar with the price of gas. It's very transparent to us. If I pull up at a Chevron and I see the price, well, in California, $6.50 a gallon, I might go across the street to a Shell and it's $6.25. Fair enough? So I have choices. And you know what, Jason? If we use less gas, you know what happens? That's your cue. The price goes, sorry, go ahead.
No, I think the price goes down, Mike.
There you go. That's a right answer. Ding, 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 ding. And that's exactly the way free enterprise is supposed to work. If you have a lot of something and nobody is buying it or they buy less, the price goes down. We call it supply and demand. Now, Jason, I've got news for you. I have my choice of where to buy gas, and I also have my choice if I want to buy an economy car, well, really not an electric car, we'll get into this second, or how much gas that I consume, okay? But a big nationwide poll, you may have not heard of this, was done. In fact, it was done worldwide. You know what they discovered, Jason? People like and need water. Everybody, despite of the political divide we have today, what goes around, everybody loves water. Well, the problem in California, there's a district called the Metropolitan Water District. And to make that clear to everybody, for the Metropolitan Water District, they argue mandatory, need, you know, they're your mandatory supply for water. And they supply about 14 million people with water. Well, we were told in California about for the last years, hey, we've noticed something. It must be climate change. It must be all that oil we're burning. It must be, oh, hell, we don't know. But we're in something that was called a drought. This was a very big shock to the state of California because apparently they had never studied weather cycles before, but let's put that down. So the state of California told everybody, you have to conserve water. In fact, if you don't conserve water, well, we're going to do something. They never got quite around to that, but let's assume they were going to do something. So you know what? The public actually listened and they conserved water. Now, going down a side path for a second, they continue to ask us, after we've had 2 years in a row of record rain, to continue to conserve water because the water department in the state of California never got the memo that it's raining. So they continue to ask us to conserve water. And Californians, hell, we decided not to shower. I guess we drank more alcohol. It's California. What do you want? Even though that imported water, and we used less water. So you would think, wouldn't you think, like gasoline, that the price of water will go down because our tanks are full, our lakes are full, our reservoirs are full? That would make sense.
I think they're going to double it.
Yes, that's the problem, right? They're going to double it. They're like, this is literally the Metropolitan Water District and all of them throughout the state. They went, well, we sold so little water because you expletive deleted to listen to us. We got bills to pay. So we're going to make you pay more for water. Now, when you first look at that, when you second look at that, it's beyond ridiculous. Californians are like, well, then we should just use all the water we want. But one of the key reasons behind them doing this is their costs have gone up. Because why the water district was working less, the public union employees, you ready, Jason?
Uh-huh. I'm ready.
If you work less, you got a raise. You got a $7,500 bonus for not working during COVID, a guaranteed 3% raise. And Jason, just because you work for the water department, we're going to give you another 5% this year and 5% for the next 2 years. And because we're giving you that 5%, and because, of course, the head of the water board, the Metropolitan Water Board, and his assistant make $500,450,000 each, they got a raise too. Now, Jason, I'm a little confused here because I realize that when you do a lot of things, TNT radio, it's hard to put together. You got to find the satellites and find the parts, but they're the water department. Okay. They know where the water is. They're not going down by the river and dragging it up in buckets. The pipes are laid in place. I'm not saying it's an easy job, but you kind of know you got lots of water. You know where the pipes, right? You know, there's things that go wrong, but you know where the water is. So because they up their costs mainly through labor, because everybody deserved a raise, and because we use less water, where they charge us per bottle, basically, they have, for the every single Californian, regardless of if you're poor, if you're rich, if you're watering lawn or you're not, your water bill is going to go up 16.5% over the next 2 years. That's after water bills going up about 10%. What does this mean for the average household? That one of the screamings you'll be hearing at, oh, about the 15th of each month is your water bill, which used to be about $25, is going to $80 to $100 a month. For a lot of households, that's a lot of money, kind of me included, Jason. I'm pitching on the show that you contribute to Rebuild California because we need to pay our water bill. So basically, if they drive cost higher, the less water they sell. But there's another reason that their costs are higher.
Hold on, Jason, Mike, Mike, we're going to have to take a break in just a moment, but it seems pretty important.
Boy, I was on a roll.
I apologize. We've got to pay the bills here too, my friend. It seems like they've put a monetary incentive in order to restrict access to a life force on the planet and at the same time really manufacture its scarcity when it's abundant, and again charge you while doing so. I want to get your take and that other thing on the other side. We're going to hit the headlines. It's TNT Radio Live. More after this.
We interrupt the regular programming to bring you some breaking news.
Breaking news.
Newsflash.
Now, TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Senate Commerce Committee Chairwoman Maria Cantwell has expressed support for a bill aimed at forcing TikTok to divest from its Chinese ownership or face a ban from operating in the United States. Holden Thorpe, a publisher associated with Science Magazine and a figure close to Dr. Anthony Fauci, apologized for dismissing the lab leak theory of COVID-19's origins. President Joe Biden concluded a three-day tour in Pennsylvania with a significant endorsement from over 15 members of the Kennedy family.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Half a million views for Mike Netter. And that's what we need. We actually need more than that because there's more than half a million people in your state of California, just like there's more than half a million people in New York. And they set the tone really for the rest of the country. When it comes to New York or it comes to California, you know they're going to continue to try it in other places and some places successfully in the country. So I cut you off there. You were getting into the other dirty aspect of this water ploy. What do we got?
Well, the other dirty aspect of the water ploy, and this is really the challenge government is having today, and really has for all time. Obviously, you don't really have a choice where you get water from. And by the way, Jason, I'm going to go down, before I go to my next commodity, a facetious conspiracy theory, okay? I'm starting to think more and more, because I saw your news at the break, that COVID was started by the people that supply us water. Because when you really think about it, all they told us to do was use more water and wash our hands. And the more that they told us to use more water and wash our hands and wipe everything down, the price went up as they told us to stay home. For everybody out there, I don't really believe that, but I do believe that Americans were so stupid we had to be told to wash our hands because we'd never heard of that before, apparently, until COVID came along. But we're trapped by this commodity. And as they try to shift us away from a flexible commodity like gasoline, they're trying to shift us to electricity. It's going to be electric cars, electric this, electric that, electric, electric, electric. And by the way, for those of you out there that wonder how you get your water, are you ready, Jason?
It's through. Wait, does it take electricity? Are you telling me? Come on now. I thought it was like a hamster on a wheel type mechanism. Real electricity? Well, we need that?
That's actually what AOC wants. She wants to see a hamster on a wheel, maybe a cow doing it without farting. I mean, that's apparently what their vision is for the United States. But it's electricity. And it's electricity is another commodity that you don't pay attention to, which is why I wanted to go there today. You don't see it like you see a gallon of gas. And we're fed this hyperbole that, oh my God, it's gasoline. Well, it's gasoline that I can afford. Here, Jason, you live in New York, correct?
I used to. I'm in great state of Iowa. See, I'm not worried about the water. I'm close to the Mississippi.
Okay, then you're not worried about the next thing I'm going to tell you, which is electricity. Because when you need to look at electricity at price per kilowatt hour. And the average around the country, and you're paying a lot less where you're at, they're paying a little bit more in New York, but the average price per kilowatt hour is 17 cents, okay? And most people don't realize that because they kind of pay their bill and they go about the day and they don't look at it too much. Well, the average cost for electricity, Jason, you seem like a pretty smart guy. What do you think it is in California?
I'm going to go 43 cents, Bob.
You are fairly close there on the prices, right? But it's actually 33. Okay.
Oh, okay.
We're there. We're 33 cents per kilowatt hour compared to an average that includes New York and the other muckety muck liberal states. You're probably paying about 12 cents where you're at. So when you think about electricity, most people scream because the screaming you hear again about the 15th of the month, you open your water bill and you open your electric bill. So now, as you consume more electricity or use more electricity, because I'm just going to charge my car. Look at all the money I'm saving on gas. Dude, you're paying actually about $16 a gallon to do that. How does this relate to water? Well, basically, as I mentioned, the water organizations as a whole really have two ongoing bills, okay? They kind of get the water from the sky. They're finally figuring this out, but look up and the water comes down, fills big things that we pump it through. They pay people to watch the water go through and pay the pipes and we've given them a raise. But those pumps run on, a drumroll please, electricity. So guess what? Their overhead for electricity, along with their home bill, has shut up. So now the ineptitude of California government managing the electric grid and the fact as we get more of an abundance of water, we're having to pay more for it because we're putting a stress on the electrical grid because instead of pumping gasoline, they want us to pump electrons out of the wall, which means electricity is going up. And here's another strange question for you that is very hard for people to get their arms around, why I started this segment with what do you pay for gas? Gas goes up and down. Fair enough, okay? There's a lot of gas, it goes down. I don't shop at the Shell station. Shell station reacts to Chevron station. In the history of my lifetime, which is a lot longer than yours, Jason, but I can guarantee in your lifetime, never, ever, ever would you have somebody from a utility company knock on your door and say, Jason, how are you doing? You know, I'm just here to say hi to you because we had such a great year. We're lowering your electric bill. In fact, we have so much electricity, we're going to lower the bill. And oh, wait, and I want to say in the driveway for you, it's the water guy. He's here with another check for you. It doesn't work that way. And that's the problem. We've lost sight of these little commodities where they make fun of gasoline on the liberal side. But gasoline is price flexible. And so are a lot of other commodities according to supply and demand. But again, electricity brings us water, and we need water to kind of bathe our hands so we don't get COVID, take showers, well, so people will date me in this case, or any other reason, so we can go out in public and do anything else. But once they up the commodity, and once these institutions, which sometimes are government or quasi-government, monopolies or oligopolies, get the money is never returned to the ratepayers, taxpayers, really even to the investors, but more importantly to the customer. And that is a huge challenge that more and more, especially in California and places like New York, which is one reason you aren't living there, that drives up this cost of living. Water is such a basic item, we don't think a lot about it, right? But it's in your food. It's literally everything that you do has to do with water. And they're going to continue.
Mike, everything that you're talking about, I think, is important also because it's also kind of about permanent inflation. You can't outrun these things because they never will reduce in price. And we're seeing that across the board. We've only got about a minute left in the segment. How do people fight back against this? How do they make it so they're not paying double for water?
One way they fight back about it, not paying double for water, these commodities, is start our group, Rebuild California, and other groups are trying to get legislation passed that puts a cap on what these particular organizations can do. Too deep to go in today, but the people that approve the price hikes are picked by the politicians that you elect. And that's the best way to put it. Who have the interest of the politicians, you don't elect them. So you can fight back. Rebuild California is a group where we're trying to bring forth legislation to fight back against who controls the utilities, which are not elected officials. And that's part of the problem. This is how you fight back. And there are things that can be done that should be done under the original charters of these organizations, which this just in, no one has read in a really long time. We fight back. I tweet at Netter Mike. I do live radio on KABC to try to do what I'm doing here today. Simplify the issue so the public understands it's not what you see. It's what you use that you're not paying attention to. And that's why the issues of water, electricity, next week they're working on air, are so important to understand, because that's where they'll choke us off, all puns intended.
Mike Netter, a pleasure as always. Love having you on the broadcast. We're going to take a break. We got another guy from California, my buddy John Fitch. I told you this was going to be a very fun show. We're going to be talking about Power Slap, the UFC, the California State Athletic Commission lawsuits, and much more. You're not going to want to miss it. More TNT Radio Live after this.
I was such a young age. Everything changed. My name is Chloe. When I was 13, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. When I found out, I just didn't know how to react. I felt like everything was just kind of closing in on me. It just became a routine. Dad's doing chemo. I'd come home from school, wait for mum to finish work, and we'd go straight to the hospital, spend a few hours there, just draw. It was hard to navigate going to school. Hundreds of kids, and I was the only one with a dying dad. He was diagnosed in March. And then he died in October. Towards the end, I heard about Canteen. It kind of felt nice to know that they had other people like me. They understood what I was going through, and we didn't even have to chat about cancer. In 2020, I became a youth ambassador, so I can help others the way they helped me. I've done so many things since I was 13. I've graduated high school, university, gotten my license, made a move across the country. Life now is just a whole lot more fun. Please give a gift today to support more young people like me experiencing cancer.
Are you ready to help your family get prepared for the unexpected?
Here we go!
Ladybug and Cat Noir know how important it is to be ready, because you never know when Hawk Moth is going to strike or a disaster will hit. And you don't need miraculous powers. Just put those planning skills you already have to good use. Make a plan that will help you and your family be ready when emergencies happen. Ready Kids can help. Get started at ready.gov/kids.
Clear and concise.
This is the Jason Burma Show
on today's News Talk, TNT.
You can say my next guest brings a mixed martial mindset to the game. He is the host of John Fitch Knows Nothing, and he will teach you to fight in many videos across the board. He's also a very smart guy. We talk about a number of issues over the years, but especially when it comes to combat sports, fighters' pay, and really a fairness in that arena. We haven't seen much fairness. And this story about Power Slap, and I just want to say this to people. I'm a huge combat sports guy. We're speaking to a guy that's also been punched and kicked in the head many a time. You can always defend yourself in the sports that I watch. This is a totally different ball game where people are literally throwing their chin out there when you're supposed to tuck that mother trucker and getting slapped full force in the face and concussed. And yet this is being regulated around the country and televised and really normalized, John. So what can you tell us about it?
It's dirty. It's ugly. It's very exploitive, because you're not going to have a long career. This isn't something that you're going to have 15, 20, 25, 30, 50, you know, Mayweather did 50 fights. You're not going to have, I don't think you're going to have 50. You're going to get knocked out 50 times. There's no defense. There's no technique to receiving a slap to the face. I don't see how you can train for this. You know, you could train to hit harder with your slap, but this is unconscionable. With all of the stuff that's come out with the NFL and CTE and the suicides, the mental health issues, all of the downside that goes along with head trauma. And this is getting skirted through by the athletic commissions. The athletic commission's sole purpose is fighter safety. Their job, their number one job, is to make sure fighters are safe. That's one of the reasons why they give suspensions, they do drug testing. It's because they're supposed to keep the sport safe as possible for the athletes who are literally risking their lives. And you have big money coming in and, you know, has completely captured the athletic commissions. They no longer serve the purpose of protecting athletes. They work for the promoter, much like managers today work for the promoter. The UFC has become such a behemoth monopoly that they run that market, and they run so much of that market that they're able to create this new non-sport market and put people in a place where they're going to suffer a lot of brain injury. And I don't think these guys are going to make that bit much money, you know, because you can't do it for that long. How long can you be the champ of slap fighting?
Let's talk about the money aspect before we even kind of get into slap fighting. You know, obviously, these lawsuits, some of which you've been a part of over the years, there was discovery, and it was very clear that the vast majority of fighters within the UFC at the highest level, one of which was yourself, were being highly underpaid. And we already do know what low-level UFC fighters are fighting for. They're fighting for $15,000 and $15,000.
Actually, Jason, like the percentages that the fighters were making of the revenue back in the mid-2000s was higher than it is today.
Well, when you're talking percentage-wise, I will totally agree with you.
Dollar signs are bigger, yes, but the percentages are smaller.
My point being on slap fighting, it's almost like you're watching these guys. They're probably walking in there for 1-1, 3-3. Maybe the best fighter, the best slappers are doing 50-50. Like you said, the UFC doesn't have a retirement plan. MMA in general doesn't have a retirement plan for these fighters, some of which do take serious damage. I know that you've seen it behind the scenes. I certainly have, now that I've been kind of more in that fighter world. There are people that clearly need medical attention after the fact, and there is no apparatus or union even that those can join. And now we're talking about a whole different thing when you talk to slap fighting. And as you said, it's not only a monopoly, but it's a monopoly where they own the UFC, they own this new big slap fighting promotion, and they're combined with the WWE. And wrestling
I got to add, they have Fight Pass, right? So they have a platform in which other smaller promotions and even grappling promotions kind of need to suckle at their teat because they really want to get on that platform so they get seen. So their monopoly spreads out into companies they don't even own.
And let's talk about that, because I have had Fight Pass since day one. That's the kind of hardcore fan I am. And I have seen a change in the business model. So for those that do not know what UFC Fight Pass is, it was the original online way that you could purchase a UFC pay-per-view and have the archives of mostly the UFC. And at the time, they had also absorbed Strikeforce and Pride. I'm talking dork stuff for people that don't know the organizations. But they ran a promotion. I remember it was Lesnar versus Overeem. If you were in the first thing, they gave it to you free. And it was a reasonable price. And it was a way that I would purchase things. Now, in the United States, Disney gets involved. Really, the only company that may be bigger than the UFC, TKO, whatever you want to call it at this point. And they exclusively get the rights to the UFC, where in order for me to watch a UFC pay-per-view, I can no longer even purchase it from the UFC itself or a cable company. I have to be subscribed to a service for $11.99 a month, ESPN Plus, and then I get the privilege to pay $80. Now, in the rest of the world,
you get the opportunity.
Now, in the rest of the world, UFC.
UFC is all about granting opportunities.
And then you look at the UFC across the rest of the world, you can still get it on Fight Pass. And just so everybody knows, in America, when you get banged out $80 for a pay-per-view, in other first world countries, Europe, you're looking $20-$30 max, sometimes free, with a service like ESPN Plus, whether that be now what's TNT Sports over there, used to be BTE and other ones. Now, you nailed it. It started where they picked up one organization. Now there are literally over a dozen organizations that are feeders into the UFC. And I would argue LFA is their largest one, but they also have the likes of Cage Fury, etc. So they are also now essentially, at least in some part, colluding with them.
Yeah, I think Cage Warriors, like in England, I think too. But yeah, so you have other promotions colluding with them because they want to get on Fight Pass, so they're not competing with them. So like, whenever you have the lack of competition, like the products are going to get stale, and a lot of people are saying that their product is getting stale lately. I'm pretty sure that's why. But you can't. I'm sorry, I lost my place.
It's fine, Fitch. Well, let's move on to the lawsuits.
There's so much going on with this, and it's so upsetting and it's so irritating that they're getting away with this type of stuff. And it's bad enough that they've been doing this to fighters for such a long time and treating a sport that's supposed to have no restrictions on it as pro wrestling, a production. And then as bad as that is, the money they're taking from guys, the damage that guys are taking without any say in their career path at all. Now they're going to expand that to even worse crap with this power slap. Like, is it going to take someone to die in power slap or completely get their brain scrambled like that one boxer did? I can't remember what his name was, but he had a really bad brain trauma in the recent years. Is that what it's going to take before people wake up?
Well, let's play to your point right now of the underpaid aspect and the fact that it is in very many ways kind of like WWE. This past event, UFC 300, I'm going to fanboy out right now.
It's the exact same business model. It's the same. The only difference is WWE has pre-scripted outcomes. That's the only difference.
Well, what I was going to say is
the rankings are just as meaningful, like the progression to fighting for the title. Is the same logic. It doesn't matter skill. It's just what's going to sell. Like, it is 100% WWE, except that the fights aren't pre-decided. They might be leveraged, but not pre-decided.
Definitely leveraged. That's another totally different subject we can get into. But I want to talk about the BMF belt. Now, again, we're not cursing here, but you can kind of guess what the BMF belt means. Now, this is totally contrived. There isn't a division for it. They actually had The Rock come out and present it at one point. Now, they put together an amazing fight. Okay, Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway, two bangers, two really great fighters. Max Holloway maybe.
I'll say it was a terrific ending. It was a great, the last 15 seconds, amazing. That was wild, awesome. The rest of the fight, though, to me was small-gloved Muay Thai. And I think one championship does small-glove Muay Thai way better. I think those guys are on a much
higher level. They do it the best.
I think they do it the best. I think Haggerty probably beats both those guys in a small-glove Muay Thai fight.
Oh, I 100% agree, but they're not doing 4-ounce Muay Thai here. But my point being is, all right, that moment was everywhere, right? And yes, they had the BMF belt. Holloway was probably fighting for $500, probably made $1 million, but then they gave him the bonus. Now, normally, for those that don't know, in the UFC, if you get a performance bonus, been the same for a while, it's $50,000. For this one, they were giving out $300,000 bonuses. And they gave, I think, knockout of the night and what was the other one? Fight of the night, Tim. Yeah, so he got $600,000. The amount of promotion for that sport that went out within 5 minutes of that knockout around the world was worth 10, 15, maybe $20 million right there. And this guy, after a war, is maybe clearing $1.1 of that $1 million, and he damn well earned every bit of it. So you look at that, and that is an upsetting aspect of the sport. And again, because of monopoly, you've had these lawsuits. Tell people, just kind of in a nutshell, where these lawsuits ended up, because now we've actually had the UFC settling for what seems to be peanuts and no real resolution, but just the journey to more court cases.
Well, we announced the settlement, but we can't talk about what's going on with the settlement. So there's more news to come. We have another 30 days before everything's approved by the judge, but we did run into some roadblocks with the case, and one of them was just the timing. We were going to be forced to combine the two classes, the Kung Lee class and the John Johnson class together, and kick the can down the road, reopen discovery, and take another 7 to 10 years to get back to the same place.
That you are now. And by the way, you're talking about 7 to 10 years. Where we
are now. So 7 to 10 years to where, you know, to get back to the same place we are now in order to get the injunctive relief. So,
and how long, for those that don't know, how long have you been fighting in these cases already?
This case has been going over 10 years already.
So that's the kind of process.
There's guys who seriously need the money now. And it's better to get a little bit for them now than have to wait another 7 to 10 years and maybe not get it then either, because we would just be getting into trial in 7 to 10 years.
Or maybe they're not even around in 7 to 10 years. Nobody's future is guaranteed. You just talked about how the process already has been a decade. Is there a chance that it will be recognized that the UFC is a monopoly and that something like the Ali Act does need to be put in place? But through the last couple of decisions that we've seen and the direction of that company and really the expansion of things like Power Slap show that the fix is in, and that, again, we might not see justice for another decade, if at all.
Oh man, things are squirrely, but this lawsuit was always just one part of the overall movement to try to change the way the sport is operated. The other one is the formation of the Mixed Martial Arts Fighters Association. It's an organization that's around for 15 years. We're just waiting. It's Noah's Ark. It's the Ark. And we're just waiting for the fighters to get on the boat, right? So that we can start making things happen. The other aspect is Ali Act. We still have the opportunity and option to expand the Muhammad Ali Act, which was a law passed to protect boxers from guys like Don King back in 2000. And a lot of people talk smack about boxing, but boxing is the freest way to do things in combat sports, you know, because you have to have a free market. You have to have no restrictions in competition for sport. Everybody has to be able to compete with everybody. You know, so unless you've got 30, 40 promoters banding together to form a league and then having an independent title and then having a collective bargaining agreement with the athletes, unless that is happening, you're not going to have a free market. That's legal. And then the other option is Ali Act. And it's the best thing we have right now. There's definitely some things that could be changed to make it better, but we need that expanded to all combat sports so we can have at least some level of protection from these promoters.
Fitch, let people know where they can find your stuff. I know you got the show. You're also good
from these promoters.
Fitch, let people know where they can find your stuff. I know you got the show. You're also going to be on the road this summer doing personal training sessions. Let people know.
Doing some seminars. Yeah. Go to johnfitch.net. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can also go to johnfitch.gumroad.com. I have a bunch of programs up there, fight programs, jiu-jitsu programs, wrestling, self-defense, lifting, cardio. I even have a neck care guide that I use because I had a lot of neck problems from getting hit in the face all the time. But yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. Reach out through DMs, whatever. I do personal training, seminars. I'm setting up the epic road trip. I'll be driving from California to Indiana again, and I'm going to try to stop along the way and do some seminars.
All right, and also check out John Fitch Knows Nothing. Thank you so much for joining me, brother. And guys, thank you so much for joining me on this show. We did it all. We talked about furries. We talked about AI. We talked about water shortages, combat sports, Holly Weird, non-binary and trans kids, and much, much more. Guys, we do it here Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. It is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. And I will see you guys tomorrow night on the flip side.